well as Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. In Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And it was the words concerning the resurrection. And the brethren were concerned about those who had passed on before them. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. The next one was Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's where we left off over the last several evenings with the one another verses. So I just read those without comment. But the next one was in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received a gift, even so ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In James chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another. Another one of the negatives. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? So in this verse, he's saying, stop speaking against each other. So James addresses the congregation where he's at and says, there are members here that are speaking evil one of another. It's malicious. When James addresses this congregation in James 4, verse 11, he says, these brethren are talking with the intent of putting the other in a bad light. He says not only that, but the flow of the language is that it's continuous and it's habitual tearing down of a brother. It's giving an evil report of a brother or a sister. So he says, don't do that. He says, you are judging the law, meaning that you are saying the law of love is not a good law. I think it's okay to go ahead and speak evil of my brother. James says, no, don't do that. You are judging the law as unworthy to be obeyed. Love one another. Speak kindly. All these verses we had about our speech. He says, when we speak evil one another, we're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Meaning we become a lawmaker. Because we're making another law that says, don't speak evil. Well, I think it's okay to speak evil. So we judge God's law as imperfect or needing some, we make up our own law. Oh yes, it's okay to speak evil of one another. James says, don't do that. In verse 12, he says, there's lawgiver, and it's not me. It's not you. He says, it's the one who is able to save and to destroy. It's interesting, because after I first, when we gave that lesson on Sunday night, we were, Chris and I were driving home, we pulled up to the traffic light down there by on Palm Avenue, by Raleigh, and Jim and Sharon were right there too, and there's a red light, and didn't see any cars, and I said, Christine, roll your window down. And Jim got Jim's attention, rolled his window down, and I said, Jim, I don't see anybody here, there's no reason for to obey that red light, why don't we just go ahead and run it? I think that's a crazy law. That law makes no sense at all. I can run that red light safely without accident. Well, that's what James is saying here. The Bible speaks about a law of love. He says the law is don't speak evil one another. So when we speak evil one of another, we've just said, like with that traffic law, oh, I think it's okay to speak evil one another. God doesn't know what he's talking about. I think I'm right in this. I feel like I'm okay in my speech. You know, he just became a lawgiver and a judge of the law. James is on this. Let me go on. In James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another. In other words, don't murmur. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Well, I think it's okay to speak evil, to kind of murmur against them over there. You know, they probably, in my mind, they deserve it. But James says, oh no, you are the one that's going to be condemned, even though you think you're making condemning words about another. James puts the finger back at us. We are the ones in the wrong. Murmur not. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition. So next time you think you've got a good murmur, had a good reason to speak evil of a brother, the finger comes back at us, not at the one that you, in your mind, has done the wrong. God says, no, we have done the wrong. The next one, we're in James 5, verse 9, verse 16. James has said for one another, doesn't he? In James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another. When he says confess your faults, he's not I'm not confessing my faults to you because I wronged you. That's not the context. When James says confess our faults to one another, and I'm sharing my faults with you because they're my weaknesses. I'm sharing with you my frailty. I'm sharing with you my shortcomings. I'm telling you that I haven't got it all together all the time. He's saying confess your faults one to another. Again, not because I've wronged you or you've wronged me. That's a whole different section in Matthew chapter 18 about one who sinned against another. The idea of someone sinning against another is not in this context. He's just saying let's share our mutual woes. Confess your faults, your weaknesses one to another. And the next phrase is, when you share with anybody, it's a member of the congregation. You may want to reciprocate. You don't have to. But then he says, and pray one for another. So I've confessed my weaknesses, my frailties to you, and I said, would you pray with me on that? Sure will, Brian. And you may want to share with me, Brian, I've been through some similar things too. Well, let's just pray together. That's the verse. It's not teaching that question. That's not the text. Nobody's appointed in the congregation to hear confessions. He's not teaching open air confessions. He's not saying, tell everybody, why don't you advertise your fault? No. Not the text. Just go to one another. You know, I know many times we already do that. I mean, sometimes just in casual conversation. Well, I'm having a hard time at work. Can you pray for me? Let me tell Dennis is over here. No, but the idea is we share mutual woes. You know, you can go to any member of the congregation at any time and ask for prayer. You don't have to go to a specific person. You don't have to come to me. confess your fault to one to another, and then pray one for another. The next one I have number 30. In 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So there is a basis for fellowship. And that is we walk in the light as he is in the light. We walk according to the commandments of God. We do the truth. And the result of that kind of walk is that our sins are continually cleansed. We are always okay with God. And so when we sin, we repent, we pray, and we get back up and walk in the light and do the truth. Yeah, fellowship one with another. When you're doing that which is right and I'm doing that which is right, we walk together. We walk together. So that's the list. That's an impressive list of one another verses. And I've counted them. I have in my notes 30 of them. But, I didn't number them when I gave them to you, but there's 30, just one another verses. So that closes out that series of lessons. I'm not sure which direction I'm going to go next on Sunday night, but typically, as you know, on Sunday night I try to present lessons that are congregational friendly, meaning that they help us live our lives successfully and with one another, and in the grace that I'm going to go next week. I have one thing in mind, but we'll see. Always on when we assemble for worship at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And if you're one that's here tonight, not a member of the New Testament Church, meaning you're not a Christian, we can certainly honor your desire to become a Christian. And we do that by, if you've heard the good news, and I know you have, and you believe it, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and Jesus is God's Son, when those four things fall in place, then you can be baptized. And from that point on, you become a Christian. New life begins. And from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus.